Well, hello there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and today we're talking all about 23 years ago on this very day, September 11th, 2001. And the United States was the target of a series of terrorist attacks, and we all know what transpired with the Twin Towers and other buildings, surrounding buildings coming down, and so we wanted to remember. Jerry and I said we would never, ever forget. September 11th, we would always dedicate a show to remembering the almost 3,000 lives that were lost that day. A lot happened that day, a lot of memories, a lot of feelings, a lot of emotions. We, those of us who watched it unfold, we know where we were exactly, and it was... It'll always be forever in our minds and in our hearts for all the victims and for our whole entire country. So it's 23 years. It's been 23 years, and a lot of people have grown up, and a lot of people moved on with their lives, moved out of the city, and I know some people moved out of New York City. But we must remember, because it's so important, because we have the power of prayer. So I wanted to open up the phone lines and dedicate this whole show on the memories that you have, the feelings that you have, the prayers that you offer today for all of the victims, all of the families impacted, all of the entire country. Please, I'm asking you to call in and share, because it's a time for us to come together and to remember, so that we don't go by the saying, you know, history repeats itself. We want to really remember, and so be prepared. And we want to get our souls in a proper state so that we're always prepared to meet the Lord. The number to dial to get on the show is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're talking all about 23 years ago, 9/11. When the attack happened, the four planes, and we all know what took place and how it hit the towers, and then they eventually came down. You know, when those towers were built in right around 1970, they were the tallest buildings in the world, and they were so incredible. What a beautiful skyline, the Manhattan skyline, absolutely gorgeous to look at. I grew up in New Jersey, so we used to get to look at the New York skyline. Loved it. And we were always, it was always so bigger than life, you know, Manhattan and everything that went on in the city and how busy it was, the hustle and bustle, especially around Christmas time. Christmas time was just extraordinary. And so we grew up, you know, just looking at those towers and just realizing how enormous they were. You know, the Empire State Building was the big building, and it was used in so many movies, as we know, like Sleepless in Seattle and all sorts of movies. And so that was always is iconic. But then the Twin Towers, it was just amazing. And then to watch them come down and to see what took place afterwards with people running for their lives, trying to save their lives, some jumping to their death, some, you know, just being overwhelmed by the smoke and the chaos and everything. It was just something that it seemed like something out of a strange movie. It was so bizarre, and it took us all by surprise, and it really brought our country together. The churches, all faiths, all the churches and temples, everybody of a faith belief was filling the churches, you know, to capacity for several months after 9/11. And then when we got word from our president and everything that everything was okay, we're not, you know, going to war, everything's okay, we could travel again, all sorts of things, then the churches started emptying. And it's very interesting when you think about that. So when we're faced with this idea that death can come at any moment, yeah, we run to God, absolutely. And then we should think about that. We should think about, like, well, we should be getting prepared now, because we don't know when the good Lord's going to call us home. You know, I could finish this show, we could finish listening to this show, and some of us could be called home, and we should be ready. And we always say, you know, get in a state of grace, stay in a state of grace. And it's very important. So you'll see how this weaves into today's our today's spiritual lives. Okay, we have a couple minutes. We'd really love to hear from you. If you have a memory of what happened September 11th, 2001, if you were, maybe you were part of it, maybe you were working that day, something, maybe you were right in the city. If you could call in, or if you're watching it unfold on TV like I was in Arizona, it was very early in the morning, and I'll share a little bit more of what happened in our family when and with our friends and our parishioners. It was just something that we were in complete shock. Please call in 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. And maybe you don't really have much of a memory of it because you're quite young. And so you're just watching the video footage and you're kind of wondering, you know, wow, how devastating was it? You know, maybe you want to ask some questions about it. Please call in, or maybe you have some thoughts about how we can keep this memory in our minds and in our hearts and in our prayers. It's very, very important. And maybe some of you went to the memorial in New York City where they had the tribute to everyone who served and everyone who actually passed away. It's so surreal to be there. I actually saw it and it was so silent, eerily silent. And wow, there's so much to say about this. Not a lot of time, less than an hour, so I really need to hear from you. So please call in. The phone lines are lighting up, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you have a memory of 9/11, if you have an experience of 9/11, if there's somebody you want to remember who died during the attacks, please call in and share from your heart. That's what this show is all about. We don't hold back here. You know, we are the real raw truth here. And it's important because that's how we learn and grow together as the body of Christ. 833-288-3986. Jerry and I have always said we'll never forget. And for 9+ years, we've remembered September 11th. And we just want to devote it to prayer. So you hear the music. When I come back, I'll go to the phones. John will be up first. He is calling in from New Jersey. So we definitely want to talk to John and the others. So please call in 833-288-3986. We're remembering 9/11 today. And I need your help. I need your call. I need your prayers for this whole entire country at this time. We'll be right back. We're remembering 9/11 today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I truly need your call, 833-288-3986. John from New Jersey, hold on just another second. I want to share with our listeners, EWTN Media Missionaries prayerfully takes EWTN to parishes and the community through the print and electronic media we provide. You can help EWTN share the good news by becoming a media missionary today. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com and join us in sharing the eternal word with the world. It's a really good ministry, you guys. So I love the Medium Missionaries. Okay, we're going to go. Let me give the number one more time, 833-288-3986. If you have a memory of 9/11, please call in. I want to bring you on air and let's talk about it. So John's calling in from New Jersey on listening on EWTN.com. Hi, John. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Debbie. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. I'm doing well. So tell us. You, I know you're a retired principal now, but you were a teacher in New Jersey when the attacks happened. So can you tell us what transpired, what happened? Because you were in Jersey, just really close to the city.
Sure. First, I'd just like to thank you for what you're doing. I think it's so invaluable in remembering the anniversary of 9/11. And especially remembering the sacrifice of the first responders, the victims, the heroism. And like you said, coming from the New York City metropolitan area, you know, it really holds a special meaning to us. So mm-hmm. I do thank you for that.
Oh, thank you, John. Thank you. I appreciate it. So tell us, what was, I mean, you were teaching as a junior high student. So did they realize what was going on? I mean, how did it all unfold for the school system?
Yeah, what's interesting, I was a middle school social studies teacher. And that day, you know, as we all know, it was such a beautiful day. And I was just simply teaching my first period class. And my wife actually called my classroom. We had newly installed phones. And she said that a plane had hit one of the towers in the World Trade Center. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, what a horrible thing. It must have been some type of accident. So she didn't really share much with it because, as I told her, I was in the middle of teaching class. Unbeknownst to me, though, is where her workplace was, is in the New Jersey Meadowlands, which overlooks the skyline of New York City. Mm-hmm. She happened to be outside when the first plane hit the tower. So she saw all the smoke developing and knew and had suspicions that, you know, this was more than just an accident. So not knowing that, you know, continued teaching wasn't a big thing. Until then, another teacher came by and told us that another plane had just hit the Trade Center. Now, they did not share this with the students. This was just in passing. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, we figured out that there was a problem. So quickly, the office came around, you know, with a memoranda, you know, saying what they think happened, you know, not to share any information yet with the students, just continue, you know, teaching. Unbeknownst to me, and as a classroom teacher, at that point, the administration of the district was now scrambling to find out if any of our students had parents or mm-hmm. relatives that were working in Manhattan. And luckily for our school district, that turned out not to be true. But adjacent communities in the area did have several parents that unfortunately did lose their lives in the tragedy. It wasn't then until a couple hours later then the district gave us an announcement to read to the students. What I would say now is it would be a lot different because you got to remember there were no cell phones with the children. There was no internet.
That's right.
Even no TVs were even in the classroom. So it wasn't later on until we had like a free period that all the teachers can come together and we actually could see, you know, what transpired. But I have to say once the students kind of had an idea that there was going on, they were relatively surprisingly calm. You know, they did ask for some details, but like I said, there wasn't a lot of information that could be accessed by them or us at that point to share with them. The next day, though,
right,
they definitely, you know, were more inquisitive. They were asking questions. And by that time, you know, the school, we did have a plan where we could answer the students' questions, you know, provide some information for them. But I have to say the students did an outstanding job with that. Later on, as you mentioned, as I became mm-hmm. principal, mm-hmm. I happened to, the school was in the same district, I happened to become a principal of the school that had celebrated the 10th anniversary of 9/11. And one of the school teachers in the building had put in a grant and received from the state of New Jersey an artifact from one of the towers.
Oh,
it was
wow.
a small I-beam, which weighed about 400 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And they used that as a ceremony.
Mm.
So when I came to be principal 3 years later, I felt it was important to do a yearly 9/11, you know, remembrance ceremony.
Right.
So henceforth, for the next 8 years, every year on 9/11, we would have an assembly out in front of the school for the students.
How beautiful. John, let me ask you a question. So obviously the kids must have been in shock. They must not have realized what was really happening. Next day they were asking questions. Did any of them, I had read reports that so many of the young kids and the even the older children, they felt like it was some kind of video game. It was so odd to them. They couldn't grasp it. Were they getting the information at home, and then were you told like what to share with them, or like what was being communicated?
Sure. Like I mentioned, the first day with information, you know, so sparse, and there really was no way for the students themselves to access any information. Mm-hmm. You know, it was coming from the school. And the district did, and I'm sure other districts, you know, I don't want to say downplayed it, but only gave them information that, you know, what transpired.
Okay.
Not the
okay.
fact that the United, you know, has been attacked, there's going to be a response. Those things I would say came, you know, post later, you know, a couple okay. days afterwards, more information was handed to the students. Then again, maybe the high school students were abreast of more information, but middle schoolers, you know, you're talking 12, 13-year-olds, you know, they didn't really have a sense, I think, of what was going on. And again, it could have been just because of the type of district that I had. The population was, right. you know, mostly first-generation Hispanic. They didn't have a lot of families that were working over in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they didn't have a real connection to the city. John, let me ask you this question. You have an extensive background in teaching history and social studies. What are your overall thoughts about, you know, do you feel like it's fading in our minds? Do you what can you give us any wisdom or insights on what we should be feeling, you know, 23 years later?
Yeah, sure. I mentioned it's so important what you are doing to have these anniversary remembrance ceremonies and what took place, you know, today over in New York City at Ground Zero. But, I think too often in our postmodern society that there is a concerted effort to dismiss, you know, or at least downplay certain traditions, customs that promote, you know, positive American values, things like mm-hmm. patriotism, mm-hmm. that it's so important that we continue doing these ceremonies at, you know, the ground site, but in the school, because that's where the information, that's where the values are going to be instilled into our students. So mm-hmm. I would encourage, you know, all educators to continue doing this. You know, like I said, we had these every year, and it was an elementary school from kindergarten to fourth grade. You know, you don't have to go into great depth what happened, but you know, you celebrate the first responders. Mm-hmm. You sing patriotic songs. You know, we did it out in front on the lawn. We invited, you know, the mayor, the council, parents, right. things of that, so that students understand that we don't forget the things that happen in our country, and we learn from them, and we continue to recognize the importance of not only remembering, but keeping a custom that America is going to be free and continue to do those things to make us a free country.
Well said, John. John, you started off the call with some really kind compliments of the show and what we're doing. Thank you so much. But I'm going to send the compliment back to you. Thank you, sir, for shaping young minds for so many years and being a principal. I'm sure you were a fantastic principal, and now you're enjoying some of those, the beginning of your retirement. So I love that. I hope you have the best years of your life, relaxing and knowing that you helped to shape the next generation. So thank you for all you have done and continue to do, John.
Oh, thank you so much. Wonderful God, words to hear from you.
Oh, God bless you. And say hello to Miss Gigi, okay?
I will do that. Please say hello to Jerry for us. God bless you.
Okay, thank you. God bless you. Thank you, John, for calling in from New Jersey. That was a great call getting us started. It came from a teacher who actually went through it with his students, and then he became a principal, and how he kept the memory going each year Very, very deep and very important. And that's what we're trying to do here on Take Two. So if you have something to say about 9/11, if you have an experience, if you have questions about 9/11, call in 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986, because we said we would never, ever forget. We're going to go to Brenda, and Brenda is in Chester, New Hampshire, listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Brenda. Welcome to the program.
Hi. So my experience was a girlfriend of mine called me at my home and said, have you seen what, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go right ahead.
Okay. And she said, Brenda, have you seen what's going on? Turn on your TV. And I was getting ready to go sing at a nursing home because I'm a music minister. And, I mean, the feeling I got watching that second plane hadn't hit the second tower yet. But I saw it. Like, I saw it happen when I turned the TV on. And then I proceeded to go to the nursing home. And when I got to the nursing home, they had the big screen TV on with about 60 people all watching the news. Mm-hmm. And there I was at my guitar having to, you know, do entertainment for them. So we started with a few hymns, and then we did a lot of patriotic stuff. But the feeling in the room was like death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. when someone dies, and there was a few people who actually had some relatives in New York, and they weren't sure if they were okay or not.
Right.
And then when I got home, I found out my sister-in-law worked for American Airlines, but they changed her route a year prior. They changed her to go to Paris instead of through New York.
Wow. So they changed her. Oh, wow. So her plan for her flying was different. Oh, my goodness. Brenda, you know, thank you for sharing your experience of this, your story. And also, thank you for being a music minister. You know, you're bringing great joy to people's souls. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a great ministry. So God bless you. Many, many more years doing that.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. Okay, thank you, Brenda. We're going to let Brenda go on that, and she's going to free a phone line for you if you want to tell your story, your experience of 9/11, your memory of 9/11, 833-288-3986. That's the number to call. Please dial in. We're going to get to Marianne in just a moment. Marianne, hang on for a minute. I wanted to share a little bit of social media that's going on, and I'll wave to everybody there. You guys are getting your chats going and on YouTube. Michael said that I was in a dentist chair having teeth pulled. One tooth cracked into 7 pieces. I watched repeat after repeat of the towers falling for 20 minutes. Nicole said, I remember how beautiful the weather was that day. So do I, Nicole. Then it just fell eerily quiet. Absolutely. Joe said, Mama was working in the yard, and I told her, but she couldn't understand what I was telling her, like if the news was not registering. That is so true. That's what a lot of people said. It wasn't registering. I understand her reaction because I myself didn't understand what I was watching. It is so true, Joe. That is the common response that everybody felt, is like you're watching it going, is this really happening? You know, it's kind of like what John said. You think, oh, there must have been some accident. A plane went off course and it just nicked the Twin Tower. And then the other plane came in, and then you realize this is not an accident. This was a planned attack. And so that's when you started to get the shock and the panic and oh my goodness, what's happening. But Brenda was talking about how a lot of family and friends were in the city that day, or working or attending some event. And it's interesting because my dad actually was in the city that morning at the MetLife headquarters, Metropolitan Life. He was working full-time for Metropolitan Life. And he happened to go from Jersey, taking the train, to New York City. And I'll continue what happened there, because I can relate to what Brenda was saying. It was just a weird feeling not being able to reach them by cell phone. You hear the music, so when we come back, we'll get to Marianne and the others. Please call in if you have something to remember or say about 9/11, 833-288-3986. We're remembering today the tragic events that happened 23 years ago, 9/11. We will never, ever forget. So I'll get to Marianne in just a moment. I just wanted to congratulate another member of the EWTN radio family. Good Shepherd Radio, with two stations serving Jackson, Michigan, is celebrating 10 years with EWTN. Congratulations to Bob Look at WJKN from your friends here at EWTN. Thank you so much. 10 years of spreading the gospel message. Real quickly, I was just sharing that I can relate to what Brenda was saying, because we got a phone call. Remember, I came from New Jersey, was raised in New Jersey, but then I moved to Arizona when I went to college. And so it was several hours earlier in Arizona. So we got the call. My sister called that my dad happened to go to the Metropolitan Life Building, the headquarters, because he was still working full time for MetLife. 73 years old, took the PATH train in, and he'd gotten in right before the Twin Towers were hit, but his cell phone coverage was gone. We couldn't reach him. And so it was like, are you kidding me? You went to the city. This was the one day you went to the city. And my dad only went to the city maybe once a year. And he went to the city on this day. But the interesting thing is, 73 years old, my dad was a Navy corpsman, and so he was on a hospital ship. And with his medical training, my dad at 73, as soon as he saw what was happening, he knew something was wrong, and he ran to the nearest hospital or station to help, to see if he could give blood or do something. And he was never the same after that. He lived 10 years, but he could never talk about 9/11 without bursting into tears. It was quite traumatic for him, but he said what he witnessed was so horrific of the panic and the devastation. But then he also witnessed incredible heroes emerging from every which way, coming in from other states. I mean, it was unbelievable. So it's an interesting dynamic we're talking about today. Let's go to Marianne. She's been waiting so patiently in Blountsville, Alabama, on the EWTN app. Hi, Marianne. Welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I live in Scotts Plains, and you know, that was 18 miles from the city. We could see the smoke from the towers, sadly. We saw the second one get hit live. My nephew, Matthew Stipe, missed the train that day. So that was the first miracle. And he worked at Cantor Fitzgerald.
Mm.
My nephew, Dan, he was going in to have lunch with his friends, so he saw them jump out the window, tragically. And then my best friend's son had a job interview at the Twin Tower, pulled into the garage at 8:30, and when the plane first hit, I guess he heard it, he got scared, he ran down to his car, backed out, and got out of the city. And then eerily, 2 days later, you could smell the smoke from the towers come over to Jersey. I'll never forget that day as long as I lived.
You know, it's interesting that you're saying that about the smoke. You know, we've seen and heard all the reports of the toxic chemicals and everything that was that had lingered and people had inhaled and then people got sick afterwards with cancer and other illnesses. And that just, you know, you think that when you're done with this, with such a horrible event that took place, a tragic event in our country's history, and then you think, okay, well, we'll try to pick up the pieces, we'll heal, but then there's these illnesses that come. It's just a constant reminder of the devastation that took place that day. And so you probably remember. I bet you, if you closed your eyes, could you picture yourself 23 years ago?
It's like it was yesterday. I worked hospice that night, so I was sound asleep. My daughter came into my apartment, up the steps, holding my little infant granddaughter, who's now 24, and all you got to do is look at them, and you know, like, oh my gosh, what happened? She goes, Mom, couldn't even talk. She said, put the TV on. And then we saw the second tower get hit live. Oh, my gosh. I'll never forget it. I can see it all very, very clearly. It was horrible.
Yeah.
And did you know, Debbie, there were no abortions that week? Do you remember that? I remember them commenting on that.
That's
there were no abortions. And everybody went to church. And now, look at, we all forgot too soon, right?
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Thank you for reminding us. And yeah, no, I do. I did see the pictures of churches where people were standing outside the church. I mean, that's how much they couldn't even hold people in the church. And then all of a sudden, 6 months later, the churches were empty again.
Right.
Yeah. So, wow, that is interesting. I want to thank you. Go ahead. No, go ahead. Any more comments?
My girlfriend, one of my best friends, worked at Overlook Hospital in Morristown, which is pretty close by, and they were all the doctors came into the hospital, you know, that were off duty. Everybody came in, nurses came in, they were all waiting for survivors, and it was horrible. They were at the train stations waiting with ambulances. I don't know if, you know, that's the rest of the story people didn't hear, but all those hospitals, I'm sure UMD, you know, the Newark, everybody was on standby waiting for survivors, but sadly they never came. So yeah.
Well, and you know, Marianne, that's the same feeling my dad had when he was in the city. He said it was just, and the word, I mean, the word that we all keep using, it was eerie. It was so out of, it was so abnormal for anything. And then you would expect something to happen to kind of calm the situation. Then something else would happen that would make it even worse. And it was like a nonstop, it never ended. And it was the chaos. And my dad was saying the same thing. And I think it truly, I mean, and he was not hurt, thank God. But it truly traumatized him. I can just imagine people that were actually in the building that ran for their lives, you know, forever being traumatized. Yeah. And that's why I think we can't forget. Because people were so emotionally and mentally and physically wounded, and we can't forget.
Did you know about the Armada? I never knew it till years later. Did you know about that?
No. Tell us.
All the boats, they came in rowboats, they came in speedboats, they came in pontoons. Anybody that had a boat from Staten Island and Jersey went over to the city to try to get survivors, to try to get people off of Manhattan. I had no idea. If you Google it, I think you can still read about it. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I don't know why that wasn't on the news. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful thing for people to do. They were so upset that you had to get people off Manhattan. Because if you remember, so many people tried to get out of the city.
Right.
So they were there in boats waiting for people to go over to Staten Island and Jersey. Besides the ferry, God bless them, they went too.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, I never knew it for years later.
See, there's so many details that we need to remember and read about and watch. And there's videos. That's the beautiful thing about the internet. We can find all these videos. So, I mean, I would hope that people spend a little bit of time today. Marianne, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I had half of a message from Nicole, and I'm sorry. I'll wave again to my dear friend Nicole on YouTube. So I'm going to start over again. Nicole said, I remember how beautiful the day and the weather was that day. Then it just felt eerie. I worked across from a motel at the time, and they were landing all the planes, and several landed at our airbase. And I remember the bus pulling up, dropping off the passengers. Yeah. It was this eerie, kind of creepy feeling, but it was such a beautiful day out. So it was all these mixed emotions we were having. Thank you, Nicole, for weighing in on that. And I'll get to the other social media comments that are coming in, but I'm going to get back to the phones because we want to make sure that we get to everybody. Nancy is in Boston, Massachusetts, listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Debbie. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Go right ahead.
This is a wonderful segment. I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I closed my eyes, and I remember working at Brigham and Women's Hospital. I was in a meeting, and someone ran in and said, turn on the TV. And we saw what was happening. And I got a call from my sister, Mary Beth, and she said, get home from Boston. Our cousin Susan McElhaney McKay was on the first flight that was coming out of Boston, going to L.A., She was a VP at TJX. And my walk home from work that day was surreal. I walked right to my Aunt Susie's house, and all my relatives were there, and we knew life was going to be different forever. Susan McAleen McKay will be alive in my heart forever, and I will never forget.
So this is your first cousin? Susan is your first cousin,
my
Nancy?
My first cousin, Susan. Yes, she died in the first plane, Flight 11.
Oh, oh my
She was
goodness.
An amazing woman. She was an amazing woman. She was beautiful, stylish, everything about her. And she was 10 years older than me, and I felt like she was my friend. And we have a very big family, and it shook all of us for the rest of our lives, it will. She was beautiful. She had two children, Matthew and Lauren, and a husband, Doug. And Maddie just had his third child. Maddie and his wife, Lauren, just had their third child, Lily Susan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so she and the middle name is her mom's name. The grandmother, yeah. Hold on one second. How is Doug doing?
Doug is not doing well, I'm sorry to say.
Mm.
He was an air traffic control officer, and when he went to work that day, his buddy walked him right back to his car and said, Susan was in the first flight.
Oh,
and
no.
He retired that day, and yeah, really sad. I don't even want to talk about it. But he got caught up in alcohol. Her children are doing amazing. I can't believe Matthew and Lauren are doing amazing. They're beautiful people, and they're living a great life. And I know Susan's alive and well in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Was she a woman of faith, Nancy?
Very much so, yep. Mm-hmm. And her mother, Susan, my Aunt Susie McElhaney, is a strong woman of faith. Our whole family is a strong family of faith. God leads us everywhere. I've called into your show before because I live with MS, and if it wasn't for my faith, I probably would be stuck in bed, and life is great to me.
Mm. Well, Nancy, you're a beautiful soul, and I put Susan and Doug and the whole family in our prayer book. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for sharing. I know that it kind of made everybody, I could feel, you know, I don't know as soon as you said she was in the first plane, it just became so incredibly real again. And I'm sorry for your loss, but with the children growing and flourishing, that's a good thing.
Yes. Thank you, Debbie. And I appreciate you and Jerry's, segment.
Oh, thank you. God bless you, Nancy. Thanks for calling in.
God bless you, Debbie.
Thank you for calling in from Boston, Massachusetts. Okay, we're going to, our producer, Charles, first of all, we have Charles on the controls, we have Matt answering phones, and we have Ace McKay on social media. So I'm waving to everybody on social media. Put your chats in there. And Charles, our producer, found that story we were just talking about with Marianne in Bluntsville about the boats. And so Charles is going to post it on Jerry and Debbie Facebook page. See, this is how we can continue to learn about what transpired around all the events of that tragic day. So Charles will post it on Jerry and Debbie Facebook page. Let's go to our friend Angel in Perrysburg, Ohio, listening on Annunciation Radio. Hi, Angel. Hello, Angel.
Oh, hi, I'm sorry, Debbie. I'm sorry. I started crying about Susan.
I know. That hit really hard. You know, we can talk about history and we can somehow feel like one step removed, but when somebody calls up and actually shares of a story of someone that actually was that lost their life that day, it changes everything for us.
Yeah.
And I totally get it. But you go right ahead.
It truly does. My son was working for American Airlines at the time. Luckily, he was home. I was in my office working. And one of my friends, a French entrepreneur, very famous man for the French government, had just walked in to one of the Twin Towers. And I texted him very quickly when we were on our computers. And he said, you know, he told me we didn't hit. And the last words I heard from him were, at this time, we're all Americans.
Oh.
And
So he was actually in the tower? He never made it out?
No, he didn't make it out.
He didn't make it out.
I thought he did, but I never heard from him again. I don't think he ever made it out. Nobody ever heard from him again.
Oh. How old was the angel?
He was in his 50s.
Mm. He probably had a family.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I was very connected to France. Working back and forth, and you know, I talked to a lot of people, but just surprisingly, he had said that to me, that was the last thing I'd ever heard from him. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's a painful subject, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there was a lot of the families of the victims who said that they did get phone calls, or they got some kind of message from the people that were involved right in the towers or around surrounding the towers. And some didn't even realize what was happening. They were saying they were sending messages like, "Don't worry, I'll be home," and then they never came home, you know.
Oh,
or some sent messages saying, "I love you. I think this is it." And you know, you think about how immediate that was, now you're going to get me crying, Angel. You think how immediate that was, and try to put ourselves in that position for a moment. If like at any in the next second, our lives are going to be gone. We don't have a chance to do anything else. You know, that's why there was a ton of prayer. We read stories. Did you read all those stories about that coworkers would get down beneath desks and start praying together? You know, and so there was so much of that, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing, because you want people to be ready to meet the Lord. But can you imagine the amount of, I just can't even imagine the feeling of the adrenaline or whatever's being released inside the body of that immediate sense that it's going to happen at any second. And then the people that felt that there was no way out, either get burned or to jump, and then they jumped. And it's like, you just can't even, it's hard to even comprehend what they went through in those few final moments, right?
I understand some of it, because my fiance, as I said, is in the military, and we go through that sometimes where he'll say, "I don't know if I'm going to be here in the morning," or, "It's bad right now, pray for me. I don't know if I'm going to survive this." And so I do understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and we always are praying for our military men and women, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be interviewing Bishop Coffey today for a show next week about service in the military. And so, Angel, you know, prayers are all around our military. You can count on that. And we just love you. You got a beautiful heart, and thank you thank you for sharing today.
I love you, Debbie.
Oh, I love you too. You take care. Okay. We do, am I seeing this correctly? I just want to make sure do we have a priest on the line? We always move priests up to the front of the line because they're super, super busy. So yes, we do. Can we go to Father Tom in Texas on Holy Name Radio? Hello, Father.
Good morning. It's still morning over here.
Yes, same with me. Go
thank
right
you
ahead.
For taking my call.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father. So go right ahead. What do you remember about 9/11?
Well, I was ordained earlier that year in January, and I was away from the parish at the time. I may have been at the mission church, but I called the pastor to see if he had got the news. And so we were all concerned and praying for those involved. Mm-hmm. Now, I also am a different priest. I'm ex-military, mm-hmm. had many years in the Army, Reserve, and National Guard, combat troops. And I was also wondering, would we go to war over that? And would I be called back to active duty? And at the time, you know, of course, I was a priest. But before going to seminary, I was combat troops, and I was wondering if I did go back to active duty, what position would they put me in? But today, I wonder, what are we doing today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, about it. I've gotten a fifth top secret security clearance. Because of other military service, And this fifth security clearance, they asked me about how did I immigrate into the country. My father was in the U.S. Air Force, and I was born in Japan. And I had to tell them that mom and dad were dead. And when I came into the country, I was still nursing at my mother's breast. So, you know, I don't know, you know, what boat or airplane we came on. But what are we doing today is my question. You know, I ask that a lot. What are we doing as a Catholic today? You know, and as a Catholic, we need to receive immigrants and we need to assist them. But we also need to protect ourselves. On my last mission trips, coming back in from Mexico, I could hear many people with that were speaking in Middle East languages. I lived in Turkey for 2 years, and I can tell someone speaking in the language from over there. But I think we need to look and see how are we protecting ourselves today, and what are we doing about that? So I would encourage folks to contact their congressman, no matter what party they're in, and make sure that we are protecting ourselves. Make sure also that we're treating people with love and respect that do come into our country. And that's why we've got such a good country. We need to keep it good. We need to keep it safe.
Yeah. I love the way you said that, Father. We have a good country. We need to keep it good. We need to keep it safe. And that's very, very important. Father, do you think we're doing enough to remember what happened? You served in the military. What happened at 9/11? I mean, I know we have all the coverage, the news coverage all day long, and that's wonderful. But are we doing enough just on a daily basis? What can we do with prayer? I mean, I guess dedicate a mass, a rosary for all the victims and their families?
Well, we certainly should do that. Yes, that would be great. You know, and especially parents need to teach the children. You know, a lot of children were not born back then, and do they know anything about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to teach our children the history so that it's alive in our lives, and that we can protect our children and grandchildren knowing that. Yeah. We don't need to let it go by unknown.
Yeah, that's what John said. Our first caller, who was a principal in school and a teacher, a history teacher, and that's what he said. We've got to educate and teach the proper history. Absolutely, Father. Father, thank you so much for saying yes to your vocation.
Well, I've got one other thing I'd like to say too.
Sure.
You know, the school shootings and things, the shootings around our country. That is a problem of us as a family. I believe that our parents are not teaching the children to love and to forgive. And so because I don't have to forgive, now I can go and shoot somebody.
Mm.
You know, our parents need to teach the children to love and to forgive. And so we need to encourage our kids and grandkids, the people in our parishes, to do that, to love and forgive, but still, we need to treat them as Jesus would, and I don't think Jesus would ever, you know, he never did go and shoot or kill anyone.
Yeah. Well, Father, unforgiveness is going to land us in a long time in purgatory, so we really need to learn how to forgive properly and continually forgive. I couldn't agree more, and it has to be taught at home in the domestic church. Father, thank you so very much. God bless you. Please pray for everyone that's calling in. They're trying to get on the air, and I don't think I'm going to be able to get to them because I'm going to run out of time. So if you could say a prayer, because they'd have such big, generous hearts. Like Kevin in New York and Cheryl in Arizona and Tony in Kerrville, Texas. You can always email take2@ewtn.com. But I'm going to squeeze in real quickly Paula in Central Florida, real quick, Paula, on Sirius XM 130. Take it away.
Hi. Yes, hi. On this somber day, my story is really nothing. What happened, I remember what I was doing. I was a homeschooling mom. I had a five-year-old first year at homeschooling, and I had two younger kids. But my husband called me from work and said, "You better put the TV on." I went and looked, and I was, like, in shock. But I was trying to go on with my day because it was nothing happened. But my brother-in-law, which is my husband's youngest brother, he used to work for Cantor Fitzgerald, and he was let go by the grace of God for choices he made. Thank God he lived. but his whole, everyone he knew in Santa Fitzgerald died. He had most of those people at his wedding in 1999. Uncle Rick Pitino, you recognize the name. He was at the wedding, too, and his best friend was Billy Minotti. He died on that floor, too, and left his wife and three young children. And our Uncle Rick took care of those kids, even to this day. They're like obviously family to him, but his best friend passed away, which was his wife's brother.
Oh.
Such devastation. And I just pray forever and ever and ever. And I just pray that people can just pray for our enemies and just continue to pray for these people that are still suffering. This is not something that just ended.
Absolutely. Well, and also pray for all the first responders, all the firefighters, police, military, hospital workers, the doctors, nurses, paramedics. Absolutely. I'm sorry I couldn't get. Yes. Thank you, Paula. I'm sorry I couldn't get to again, Tony and Kevin and Cheryl and the others. Please forgive me. We really need to do a whole couple hours on 9/11, maybe next year. So thank you to the show team, Ace and Matt and Charles. And tomorrow we're going to be talking about how do you protect your marriage? How do you protect your marriage? That's tomorrow. See you real soon.